This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today.
In this episode, we are presenting a repeat of Gaia and Bill talking about thriving amidst adversity. This time, Bill shares about a factory he started in the United States, and things did not go as well as planned.
We are in Canada, and I'm talking with Bill, and we'll have together a conversation how the kingdom is at work in business in the States. Bill had a lot of experience of God's presence and His tangible involvement in China, but how does it work in a Western context? And is God also present here in the States, in my country, in Europe? Or is He only, you know, is He especially interested when we are overseas? So, Bill, it's good to have you, and we are looking forward to this talk.
Hi, Gaia. It's great to see you again. And I'm looking forward to it also. It's a bit different than a lot of our other podcasts.
Yeah, we talk in the other podcast a lot about China and your experiences there and how you saw Him move in the business. And now we are fast forwarding. You are back in the States. I think you are now 3-4 years back in the States. Mm-hmm. And you, well, it seems you are a real entrepreneur. You saw possibilities here and you got involved in a business.
Right. And now you want me to talk about a story that's not finished yet.
Yes. It's not finished yet. It's in the middle of challenges and seeing how the kingdom is expanding here in a factory in Texas. So what is this factory about? Can you tell a bit about the context?
Let me give you a little bit of background on it. It actually originated when I started having some images of greenhouses on tops of high-rise buildings in our city in China. And I was also aware that because my ancestors brought in opium through that port city for several hundred years, there is a desire, or we had a desire to do something that would be the opposite, a little bit of a countermeasure to that. And we discerned with some help of others that if we could bring a business that would be healthy for the people and just gift it to some of our friends in that city, it would be a small gesture in the opposite direction that would be beneficial to the kingdom. And so we started developing this technology called vertical farming, and I got a big boost from a good friend when I was able to visit his home and see his operation in a greenhouse, and I was very impressed that the technology worked. That particular application wasn't really for resale. It was more to supply a particular facility of residence of 1,000 people or so with fresh vegetables, and so it didn't have that real business orientation to it per se, but it was really a very impressive technical accomplishment. And so I couldn't resist the temptation in my garage in Tennessee to begin experimenting with this. So I ran down to Home Depot, bought some parts, started putting them together and planting seeds. And to my surprise, they grew. And so
in your garage.
In my garage. That's right.
So you're one of those pioneers.
Yeah, I can't quit tinkering apparently. So It was surprising and impressive in that it worked, but it wasn't impressive that it was particularly efficient. So again, unable to resist the desire to improve in my office in China, we did version 2.0. And that was much better. And then we took over the boardroom in my office and did 3.0. And then we ended up doing 4.0 in a separate building that really got it up and launched. And that equipment has been gifted to a good friend that's using it in a facility for helping people with special needs. So they're the technicians for the equipment over there. They're growing their vegetables and both eating and selling. And
this is in China.
This is in China. And so I felt like that was an accomplishment of that original assignment.
So now we move to the States.
Yes. And I would then confess that most of the next year or two had struggles that were my fault. So I want to take the responsibility for not providing a better kind of leadership then. And I think the reality is that I fell into the trap of comfort in my home culture. When I live overseas, I'm always a little bit on alert because you are aware that everything is different. The language is different. If you don't pay attention, you really might miss something, or you might miss a cultural nuance or something like that. So you pay attention. And it's also got a spiritual component to that where you are alert. You may end up having some kind of a spiritual attack the way the scripture describes, and you want to be prepared for that. Don't get caught off guard. Well, when I came back to the U.S., all of that went away. Now I'm just super comfortable. My sort of traditions are back. My assumptions are there. And there's no real sense of urgency about anything here. And so I think I just sort of took my eye off the ball, as they say, and didn't focus with the kind of intentionality on the relationship with the Lord that I had done before.
So you made some wise decisions.
I made some decisions.
What is considered in our culture, you know, kind of common sense.
Yes.
Common sense.
Yes,
maybe
yes,
that's
yes.
Better.
That's
word.
Right. I used common sense and made some decisions, but they didn't always turn out so good. And so I think we were getting some normal results, but I had become accustomed to better than normal.
You were spoiled over there in China.
A little bit spoiled with the Lord showing up as often as he did. And we had multiple production lines and we didn't have any of them fail for anything under our control. And so that's actually quite surprising to many people. But I think it's just evidence of the favor of the Lord. And now I'm back in the States and I'm not seeing the same results. And I think it's because I didn't invest the same, what we call relational investments in the project. And so I didn't get the same relational equity out of the projects. Does that make sense?
And relational with the people in the factory or with God or both?
Primarily more with God. And so I hadn't noticed how much we invested in the relationship overseas. So it's not just me, but it would be people coming early to pray. And like I was just over there recently and they had informed me that, again, they're meeting an hour before work, or actually 2 hours before work. And they're praying together as a group of believers and they're praying for the equipment. And that's the kind of thing I mean by relational investment.
So the people, the company in China, you've been three, four years away, they still keep doing what you modeled?
Right. And the result is that we were shocked to find out that the company had improved in every area without my presence there for 4 years. So they say that's the goal, but it's a little humiliating when you're successful at it and they truly don't need you. But you do delight that they are as faithful as they are and dependable as they are. And they also had favor on the company. Just a word about that concept of favor. So we never lost a single day of production in China through the whole COVID experience. And that's kind of unheard of. Mm-hmm. There were so many reasons that you would have been shut down for 2 weeks at least because of someone getting COVID. And if they got it and were identified in the factory, the whole factory would be shut down for a couple of weeks. We never had a lost hour of production. I think it's just one of the indications that God's favor was over the company.
Back to the States.
Now we're back in the States.
You love to share about China, right. But we are back in the States, Bill.
So this situation is kind of bringing it up to date. We have a project. It's a vertical farm that we're developing. And I ended up in December, early December, getting more involved as the leader of the project because I felt like upon examination, the equipment was operating with some defects in it and the outcome was defective because of that. And my background with manufacturing just says you don't tolerate defects. So let's just, you know, blow a whistle, stop everything, give it a pause and say, what do we need to do now to make this defective free? What do we need to do to get every piece of equipment operating correctly all the time?
Mm-hmm. So you have this company, now you invested, you started it, you have staff working there, and it's not selling well, or it's...
That would be correct.
So it's losing money.
It's losing money. We don't have good sales and we don't have good quality yet. Mm-hmm. So I just said, okay, Lord, what do we need to do? And I will often ask, as I did again, can we close this down? I don't want to push something that you're not involved in. And it didn't have that feel of favor from the Lord because it had been quite a while, mm-hmm. you know, thinking 2 or 3 years that this has been kind of in process. And I've never had that experience before where it took that long to get the facility, you know, operating really well.
This was not what you were used to.
That would be correct. It's not what I expected. And I didn't really face it initially. I think I kept thinking, oh, it'll get better. It'll get better. And then when more time goes by than you expect and it hasn't gotten better, then you need to take a look at what's happening.
When our listeners have followed some of the podcast, of course, you didn't worry.
I would like to say I didn't worry. As I began to realize what was really going on, I wouldn't call it worry, but I definitely was paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. And I realized, okay, this is a kind of adventuresome challenge. And the way I was processing it is, this really wouldn't have been our experience in China, I don't think. So what do we need to do to get the U.S. experience similar to China? And I realized, as I mentioned earlier, what we were missing, I think, is relational investment in the operation. What is it that we need to do to get the Lord more involved? So we wouldn't say he wasn't involved, because as soon as one person asked him to be involved, I think he's involved. As soon as one person prays, you've got the ball rolling. But if the results aren't yet what you want, then what do you do? And my conclusion was we need to invest more.
So what I understand right, Bill, this is going on for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. You're losing money every month.
Yeah. Technically, he's losing money, but yes.
Okay. I'm still learning how you communicate and how you not only communicate, but deeply are convinced, okay, this is his business. You asked to quit. You didn't feel you should quit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so here, this is in the States. And like you mentioned in the beginning, you know, it's more comfortable. You're kind of used to the systems here. You do the common sense thing.
Yeah.
What would be called just normal, wise decisions, business decisions.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Didn't do anything strange. But...
Not yet.
No. Not something that you're like way off the wall. And still, it's not... It's continuing, but it's not the speed that you are kind of used to, because I heard some amazing stories of it seemed like it's fixed.
Right. I started thinking back to our experience for 3 decades about getting orders, and we really rarely had trouble getting orders. And the common experience was people found us. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking around and waiting for that to happen. It's not happening. And then we have connection with one potentially really great customer that could buy everything we could make. And after a few weeks, that person that's working with us resigns from their position and the opportunity evaporates and it's gone. And now we have nothing else in its place. And so I decided I wanted to get involved back in what I would call as the chief liaison with the Lord in a company. So if a company is the Lord's and a steward is stewarding it for the Lord or with the Lord, then that person is the chief liaison with Jesus, kind of in my imagination. They're the one with the direct responsibility for communication with the Lord.
Well, Bill, one of my favorite verses is in Proverbs, where it says, you know, ask counsel with, when you ask a lot of people advice, you win the battle. How do you, I mean, there's a lot of good wisdom, common sense out there in a business situation. And I don't hear you say, okay, we did this, we did that. You are saying, go to the Lord.
I know this probably sounds a little bit unusual, and I think it is dangerous if you don't have a good relationship with the Lord. You can get misled. If I want counsel from people, I would like it from people who have been successful overcoming the problem that we're dealing with. And I did ask people, what do they think? And they usually come up with what we refer to as the best practices or the normal solutions to things. And the normal solutions involved more money than we had access to. So they really weren't functionally good suggestions or possible to execute, as far as I knew, with the funds that the Lord made available. And a lot of them were common sense. We needed more equipment. We needed different equipment that we didn't know we needed in the beginning. And then there was just a whole lot of technical understanding that we needed, nutrients, water quality, pH levels, and all sorts of technical parameters, airflow, lighting. And so we were gathering as much as we could, but we felt like we were slow at that part as well. So when I got involved, we began to do, actually, to practice your course. Let me just plug this idea right now for a little bit, because I had three co-workers, and the four of us were the main leaders. We had some other employees, but they were the main decision makers and responsible for the success. And we began to work through the training course that's online under bammoves.com. And it was really a delightful experience.
Basically, you know, the change of mindsets, his company, you know, kingdom oriented. So what happened?
Well, the way we began to practice this, or I would say relationally invest time in it, was that I borrowed from a really favorite group of mine called Wild at Heart, a daily prayer that they have online. And it takes about 18 minutes to run through it. But it's so comprehensive in identifying my relationship to the Father and to the Son and to the Spirit in the context of the kingdom coming into the arena that we have responsibility for. And so we would sometimes listen to John Eldridge read it. Sometimes we would read it one at a time. And I'm working on memorizing it now. But it had such a healthy impact of getting our thinking oriented around who we were from an identity point of view and what the kingdom likely might look like. And we were able to specifically pray for details of the coming of the kingdom in that realm of the vertical farm.
Yeah, so doing the training together online and helping to, okay, what are the mindsets to, that God can be present on the work floor, mm-hmm. and relation with the Lord, but I also, what I hear, relation among each other.
Yes, we're experiencing what I would call a growing awareness of a real fellowship that we have as we're bringing this project or this whole business to the Lord together daily, then we have an expectation that the Lord is going to show up, and we have a real growing care for each other. And so I find that the members of this team are very alert to the other members of the team, very appreciative of what they're doing, praying for each other, and going out of the way to encourage each other. And it feels like it did in China, where there was a team, a leadership team, who really felt like this is ultimately about the kingdom. We're in this together to see the kingdom come over this particular business. And this is now the first time in the States that I'm gaining that sense again, that we're really sharing this task and this project and inviting the Lord into it daily. And now by going through the course, we did it in 6 days, there's six sessions or seven now, I think. And so we spent one day on a session. So we went through the daily prayer and then we spent one day. And now we're reviewing it at their instigation. They began to suggest, why don't we go back to one of the sessions and all week long, let's keep reviewing it and seeing how that impacts the way that we're approaching the work that we're doing with getting this company established.
So it's growing a culture, a kingdom culture in the business with your co-workers.
I think it is, yes. Uh-huh. And now it's doing it in the U.S. And so we're jumping the borders out of China and finding out that there is a way for this to be also our experience in the U.S. It's not completed yet, so the full story is yet to be unfolded in front of us, but I'm very confident that we're going to see that happen.
Yeah, so like you said, it's the problems are not solved yet. You're still losing money every month, right?
Right. He is.
The Lord is still
I check
losing.
With him and I go, you okay with this? And he goes, it's fine. It's fine. Keep going. We're going to fix it. Yeah.
What does it do to you in your spirit? How does it grow? You know, you're doing this together. Is your faith growing? Do you see some signs of his involvement? Or is it just an inner assurance, what is growing, that it will be okay?
Yeah, I'm seeing signs that he's moving in a way that we didn't see before. One of them is we're getting solutions to all the technical questions that we didn't have answers for. And the way we're doing that is by hiring a consultant who really has decades of experience. He has the knowledge that we need. And so he came and visited last week, and we're getting a lot of support and help in having those questions resolved and answered. And then we are also installing some equipment that will solve some of the other conditional, like the environmental issues that we need to have control over. We didn't even know we needed some of this stuff. And so the vertical farming is actually much more technically demanding than people think it is. It seems like a great idea, but as soon as you want to do it consistently at a bigger scale, you really need to know what's going on. In this case, the Lord is bringing us what I would call team members with the expertise to help. But the other thing is that we had a call kind of out of the blue. We had had an initial contact with this company. They're a large food distributor company, but they called and asked if they could come and visit. And we're usually trying like crazy to get them to even talk to us. And so by calling us and asking if they could come and visit and then having a really successful visit on site, that was just a huge encouragement in the right direction. We think that will certainly result in orders in the near future.
So do I hear it correct that, okay, before you were more like, oh, okay, it will get resolved. Then it was like, it's taking a bit long time, maybe.
Right.
Where's God in this?
Yes.
And so then becoming awake to, oh, this is about being intentional and a bit more than seeking only, you know, good counsel, good mm-hmm. advice. Okay,
right.
You do that.
Right.
But to more focus on expectation and growing relationship with him, spending, not growing, maybe you say equity, to build
relational equity.
Yeah, to spend time and to really involve and to say to God, we are serious. This is your company. I am kind of thinking, what is the Christian mature way? You give the company to God and you work hard and you, but here it sounds like I even hear a bit of fun and expectation, and because we are really going to the source, the real owner, and he can kind of do so much more than the common sense, the general wisdom out there, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of spoiled there in China, and you want your daddy to be. Is that, do I understand it well, or do you want to add? Or?
I think you are understanding it okay. Let's talk for a second about what is the best way to actually have the conversation that we want to have with the owner of the company. That his company needs some assistance, that we could do with some favor, some blessing, some help. How do you have that conversation? What do you imagine is the most effective way to relate to the owner of the company? Do you have a guess? We've said prayer, but prayer has many different forms. You know, even in scripture, there's many different ways to describe the kind of the intensity of it. But do you know what we fell on? That was, I think, the most important, but it's probably quite an unusual business tactic.
Well, you share.
Worship. I think that my desire to talk to the owner of the company in terms that he would appreciate is best expressed as my worship of the owner. And by worship, what I mean is I want to tell him things that would intrigue him, that would invite him, that would make him feel at home, that would make him believe we're throwing out the welcome mat in such a distinct and intensive way that he can't resist coming.
Okay, so instead of pleading on our knees, God help, God come, saying, God, you're awesome. You are faithful. You are kind. We welcome you here. This is your place. Is that what you are
saying?
It's
like that, yes.
It's like that.
It contains those
words. You correct me.
No, it contains those words. But when I'm actually enjoying that process of borrowing the words from well-written worship songs, and borrowing the music. So I'm writing along with the work that other people have done who are gifted to write worship music. But I find myself just singing to him and realizing, I love these words and what they mean and what they say. I would never have thought of creating the words myself, but I am absolutely delighted to borrow them and say these things to the owner of the company. And it's quite personal. But if you look at David, when he says things like, my soul thirsts for you, I long for you, that kind of intensity is what, in fact, we want to be saying with the owner of the company that we're stewarding. It's not, will you come and help us solve our technical problems only, although that's a factor. Beyond that is, we absolutely love the presence of the owner. We love the experience of being in his presence. We love his involvement. And we want, before we pester him with all of our requests, to let him know we love him. We want him. We want his presence. We want to experience him before everything else. We want to try to get things in order. And so worship in a company context that you're stewarding is simply engaging with the owner of the company, but in such a way as to be the most attractive engagement to the owner.
So it's more like, wow, going to the door and opening the door. Oh, there you are. We just are so delighted to have your company here.
Yeah, you could say that. Mm-hmm.
So I'm slowly getting it, Bill.
Yeah. And so when we do the training with these other team members, and then they get that same experience. And so we're facing day by day still the challenges that exist, but we're facing it with a growing anticipation that the owner of the company, the Lord Jesus Christ, will show up today or soon with a resolution to this. And that confidence is a group confidence, is really becoming the basis of a fellowship. Mm. And the fellowship is real similar to what it seemed or felt like in China. So I'm quite excited to find out that we can bring this approach to business management across the ocean back to the U.S.
Well, the story hasn't ended yet. So it's not that it's, all problems are solved. but I see, well, I can see your eyes that it's, you are delighted to be in this process, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I just love it. Give me two more months and I think we'll have the, not the end of the story, but we'll have the problem solving completed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we are coming to the end of this this session. It's an episode. It's a podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what I hear Bill sharing too is that it's the training we developed online can be a real wonderful tool to do together in a business setting with team members and to help and grow in this experience what you really share so contagiously, Bill. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Gaia, for the invitation, and it's always a delight.
This was Gaia Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoose.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for Business, Life and Work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.